traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
November 9th, when you secure that fucking knockout and we walk out of there, you are literally going to have your pick of the litter in B-class Hollywood. I told you last night. You are moving from C-list girls to B and B-plus girls based on the strength of this fucking fight. You want to do it? Should we do it again?
Well, I don't know. I'm just rusty, bro.
That's all right.
Maybe I'll use it.
Oh,
what is this?
Oh, no. My tangles are corded.
We're back. I can't believe it. One more? I mean, all right. What's good?
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Feels good. Feels great.
We figured we'd squeeze in one last episode before the fight because we did have a lot of stuff to talk about. You guys are pretty upset that we haven't been here. So I want to say, hey, if you're not subscribed, make sure to hit that button. Join the Impulsive squad, I guess you could call it.
Man, it is getting hard not to like this podcast. Oh. Bro. I mean, dude. We got nominated for a goddamn Streamy Award, dude. Usually the lights would flash and shit, but unfortunately,
hit the Danny's lights, Danny.
Just over here,
it's all right. No, you can hit them now. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, let's go. We do have some pretty tight competition in that category. We're up against YouTube's sweetheart, Donnie Dobrik.
David Dobrik.
David Dobrik, who, by the way, I hung out with the other night.
How's he doing?
He's doing great, dude.
I just looked at his vlog channel.
God almighty.
He's popping off like an average of 10 million views per vlog, which I think makes him the most successful vlogger in the history.
Person ever.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in Google Preferred, but if he was, that could potentially be 20 to $40,000 per video.
Sorry, why would he? Oh, because his content's a little edgy.
It's way edgy. I don't think he is. My guess is per video, he's probably making between $5,000 and $20,000 per video.
Just an ad rev. And then sponsors are way.
10 million plus views crazy. Per vlog. That is insane. At my peak, I was at 8. But then again, I was daily. But his content is just so good, man. I'm glad to see he's doing good. Is he coming to the fight, do you know?
I talked to him about it. I said, half of the influencers we submitted tickets for got like turned down, but they said, oh, David Dobrik. Yeah. He's good. Plus 50. They were just like, yo, please bring David Dobrik.
And the vlog squad.
And the whole vlog. And I took a picture with him and I posted it the other night. And I had like a bunch of people in my comments that were like, why are you with him with all the beef? Man, we ain't got no beef.
There's no beef.
Donnie Dobrik.
Even when there is beef, there's like not.
Yeah.
And we spoke to him at
a party
and it's all good. I love the kid. I always have. It just in most relationships, just the way they work, there's ups and there's downs. And you just gotta talk it out and hash it out, and we're all good now.
I'm happy we did. You're like the David Dobrik of this squad, and I'm like the Jeff. Comes from a rocky background.
Yeah.
We should do some shit with them sometime.
Yeah.
Just a little like.
I think secure this W. And then,
facts.
Yeah, you know, that's number one focus right now. We're so focused on this fight. We've been in training camp. That's why we've been absent from the vlogs. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I guess you mentioned it. We're trying to get as much of our influencer friends into the fight as possible, but apparently there's like a ticket situation, and like you can imagine how many people hit me up for tickets, and I'm kind of strapped. I've kind of been like hands off in this operation, but there's gonna be some big celebrities coming. I think Bieber's coming. I'm gonna place him next to my mother and father. And by the way, if anyone in my family and friends section asks Bieber for a picture, I am kicking you the fuck out. Like, just leave the kid alone. I just want to promise him sanctity and safety and entertainment. That's
you know,
all.
There's gonna be one person. Who do you think it would be
I thought it would be Neighbor Susie. If we had let Neighbor Susie in our family and friends section,
she would just be like, Justin, with the camera.
Yeah. And she's not even his demo. She's like 80 or so.
Yeah, but she's also like a daily vlogger.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
She's holding the daily vlogger demo down for the boomers.
Definitely made a choice when I decided to make my neighbor famous on Instagram. She got like 100 plus K. Okay, so what else has been going on? We got a Snapchat show coming. If you guys have seen, we partnered with Snapchat to do a show called Countdown to Fight Night. And we basically give an inside exclusive behind the scenes look at what our training camp looks like. Personally, I'm obsessed with it. And the internet's obsessed with
it.
The first episode got like over 10 million unique viewers. The second one's at like 8. We just released a third today. And it's incredible. You have to check it out. I'm actually going to show you a little clip of today's episode, which because I want to dive in involving my sex addiction. Well, I'm not addicted, but it's become a problem. All right, check this out. This was today's episode.
Mike is supposed to be my babysitter.
You want me to f*** him up? You want me to hit him?
No.
What do you want me to f*** him? When he don't listen, he wants to go f***.
There was no pushback last night. Don't try to act like you were being a hero.
But if I'm being honest, I'm not the easiest baby to sit.
No, that you're dragged into it and getting stressed out about some shit I don't give a f about right
now.
You do
give a
f, but I'm saying I can't stop him.
It's tricky because I like to have fun, and now I cannot have fun.
Mike is the fun guy, and the fun guy has been told that he is no more fun right now.
What kind of fun am I having?
You fun?
I'm sick.
So Mike almost fought Shannon Briggs.
Bro, that was just such a stressful day. And like, it's kind of like a microcosm of what this fight camp has become. It's like, it's not generally that stressful, but it's just everybody is laser focused on the goal at hand. And nobody more than LP. I don't think I've ever seen him in a place in my entire time knowing him where he's only concerned with one thing. You cannot break this kid mentally or in any way pull him away from his only goal right now, which is to decapitate his opponent in the first round. Like any little, like we had a couple mess ups in the, you know, a few weeks back with girls, which is why
it was the only mess ups were with girls. And that was probably shot about a month ago. Because apparently no sex leads to more testosterone. It makes you like angry.
Right,
and
right.
It's called building your batch.
Yep.
And Shannon has been harping on it. And apparently there's some like scientific research and proof that it works and it's like good for you. It keeps your legs strong. And I thought it was a myth because we had asked all the fighters that we've had in the show, Brennan Schaub, Uriah Faber, even the sexpert, we asked her.
And they're saying no.
They said it's a myth.
Right.
But I mean, apparently there's like scientific proof and evidence that there is benefits to retaining your semen, it's called.
And we've been talking about it too. And the way we've been discussing it, it's not even just retaining the semen, but also
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org, paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
But also not expelling like a ton of energy on the conversation. The thought, like when Logan has a girl over, it's not like when other people have girls over where they're like chilling with their boys watching a movie. He puts 100% of his lifeblood into that. And like, I'll be like, Logan, hello, hello. And he's just like fucking zoned in. And so when you remove that focus on the fight and it gets eaten by anything else, and if that's a female, he kind of goes down a dark path. And that's why me and Shannon Briggs had that little meltdown.
Mike said to me, because I asked him, I said, hey, man, what the fuck are you thinking? Why are you arguing with Shannon? And Mike says, well, he said, I don't care enough about my health and well-being to not do that. Like, you almost died that day. I was fearful for your life.
It's a pride thing, bro. It's a East Coast pride thing. Like we don't let down. Like if somebody's there and they're like, "Yo, I hate to break it to you, but you're gonna die for your pride." That we make those decisions a lot out there, dude. And like you just do it. And like, yo, he was a good man, and he went down on his fucking feet, bro. And I almost did, dude. That was scary.
Yeah. So ever since that incident, I've been clean. No sex, no women. Oh, there's one woman.
But even that's been lowered. So in lieu of partying, women, all of that kind of dysfunctional stuff that you've become used to by watching the show, Logan is now doing the following. He carves pumpkins. So he had a long pumpkin carving session the other night where he carved a couple pumpkins and asked me almost like with a turtleneck and a pipe. And he was like, which one of them do you like the most? He did that. And then another thing, we did a like everybody else is partying, we did a lemon lime soft drink tasting competition the other night where we just tasted every lemon lime drink and had a conversation about which one was the best. That's the kind of shit we're doing right now at the fucking Maverick House.
It's not great. The point is we're really focused. I've been watching a lot of programming at night. It's all good. And what?
The Paul Rudd Show.
Oh yeah, we watched the Paul Rudd Show. What's it called?
Living with yourself. Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's pretty good.
I like it.
I give it a 7 out of 10. Yeah, if you get a chance. We love Paul Rudd. You love Paul Rudd.
Love him.
I feel like he gives you hope for old age.
Paul Rudd is 50 years old. The dude looks like he's fresh out of 26. He is a sex god, bro. So like, you said
he was a sex icon.
Look at him.
Hey, comment below if y'all think Paul Rudd's a sex icon. Because, look, he's a good-looking guy, you know? His eyes are just a little too light for me, I feel like. Like, I feel like he pierces my soul when I look at him.
Well, you pierce souls with those eyes, too, though. But he's just, bro, he's got the sauce, which is comedy, bro. He's a charming and you know how I relate to that because people are like, bro, you just ain't that good looking. And by the way, I combat that too. I think I'm quite good looking. But when you have that comedic sauce and that charm, bro, he's just out there winning, dude. And so I see a lot. And by the way, he's on the top 5 most highest grossing actors list.
Is he really?
Yeah. Like 30, 40 million a year.
Must be nice. You know, once we get those bigger fight bags, we secure this win. We go to the next one, bro. I'm going to the UFC next. Dana White.
No, you're not.
What?
No, you're fucking not. You're winning this fight and then you're going back to producing award-winning content. I'm not going to watch my friend get turned into, as I've said before, mashed potatoes. Fuck that shit, dude. You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it,
yeah,
bro.
You're right. Fighters are
like up against so much. They're like, this is what I got. All I got is fighting. You got fucking fighting, music, content, women.
I'll have another fight. Don't worry. Hey, guys, we got a sponsor today. I was going to segue earlier because of my absence from sex. And so I personally can't relate. But my co-host, Mike, can. If you love sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers a performance enhancement for the bedroom because everyone likes to last a little longer and go a few extra rounds. Chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. They can be taken on a full or empty stomach. It takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. They give you confidence in bed every time, and you and your partner will love it. I actually have some samples here. They finally sent us some samples. I got a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and you get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. That's my name, L-O-G-A-N. Just pay $5 shipping.
Look at this discreet packaging. Like if you got this in the mail, no one would know it was in it.
Unless you watch Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Should I eat this right now?
Probably not now.
Should I do it for the show?
No, definitely not now. Would you do it?
Yeah, of course. For the sponsor, bro? It's a sponsor, dude. We got to pay the bills somehow.
I guess.
You may have to like flash away from like my lower half when I walk off set at the end, but that's all right.
After the fight, I'll definitely be giving Blue Chew a shot.
I threw a secret party the other night while you were sleeping.
I heard about this and I can't believe you've done this. You had 20 people in the gym?
20, 25 people. So I was out at Roddy Rich's birthday party with like Banks and that whole squad the other night. He was already sleeping. It was like 11 o'clock. And we went to like a bar after, and we were in Encino. We're at the Surly Goat, which by the way.
Great bar.
Which by the way.
Just a nice little ho-dunk kind of a place.
Has one of the most special ops security forces ever. There's like 2 entrances, heavy ID checking. Like it was crazy.
Wow.
Never expected it. Anyways, we leave this place. We did some karaoke, and they were like, and Banks was like, yo, let's go back to your place, bro. Bring all these girls.
Oh, it was Banks' idea?
Yeah. He was like, it's right down the street. And I was like, dude, I mean, we've got this, already got this shaky truce between Maverick and FaZe. Like it just.
Shaky truce.
It just doesn't seem like the best idea. If the kid wakes up, he's going to kill everyone, you know? And he was like, dude, we won't wake anybody up. And so I marched 20 people. And I was like, yo, first person that says one fucking word while walking through the yard, you're out.
Gets slapped in the face with their Blue Chew dick.
With a Blue Chew cock. And you we walked everybody through the yard into the back gym area, played loud music, had an ultimate time of camaraderie and intrigue.
Yeah, must be nice, man. Was it more fun than Dan Bilzerian's party last night, which I also wasn't allowed to go to because I'm banned from having any fun or going out of my house? You went.
So that's a story in itself, huh?
So I understand you've had some beef with Dan. And I actually know this because he texted me prior to the party. And I don't think we've said this publicly, but Dan texted me and he's like, "Yo, you coming to my party?" And I said, yeah, I'm gonna be there. And he said, "Okay, great." And I asked him to bring my friend Brooklyn Beckham, David Beckham's son. And then he specifically, Dan, went out of his way to said, "Yeah, just not that Mike guy."
I think there's another word that you can...
Well, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, just not that Mike guy. So Dan banned Mike from his house. Yeah. And so we're all a little confused.
And this wasn't even the first time that it happened. Like, I don't think I was able to go to the last party either. So evidently, there was some sort of miscommunication or unhappiness about an episode of The Night Shift, everyone's favorite nightly news show, that I shot with Katie Bell and one of the other girls. And he didn't really like that episode or the way that he was portrayed or the girls were portrayed, but it was a big miscommunication. Everyone knows the Night Shift is very tongue-in-cheek, very sarcastic, and I don't think it was read properly. And so he texts Logan and says,
"Someone said that guy Mike made a podcast, apologized to me. I don't know the guy. I was just told he was talking shit about me. What's his deal? You vouching for him?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. He's my best friend. I don't know what the miscommunication was, but he was never talking shit and he loves you and Ignite." Then he said, "He's your best friend." And this was my opportunity to double down or be like, "I mean, he's an acquaintance, but that's my boy. He went on the same podcast." He said, "Yeah, he lives with me two doors down." Then he said, "Give me his full name." And he said he can come. And he even went public with it. He tweeted this, Dan Bilzerian. "All these tight ass politically correct Hollywood dipshits so salty. I'm about to have the best party of the year and they can't get in." And then a fan.
Let's say Braden Shomos.
Shout out Braden Shomos.
Shout out Braden Shomos for having my back. Now, he's not the only one that went at Dan trying to get me in, but he's the one that broke the fucking ice.
He said, "Let Mike Malak come." And Dan tweeted back. He said he can come.
I peaked, bro. This is it. This is it, bro. And so...
Yeah, I had to come in there with the Shia LaBeouf gif.
Clapping gif.
Because that's my boy. Was it fun? Because I know you went with the younger Paul brother. You went with Jake. And those parties are always a blast. I was at home playing with my laser pointer. I was shining it and Broly was chasing
making
it.
Making dogs chase it around.
I did that for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a ton of fun, bro. Dan throws the best party in Hollywood. I was super bummed that you couldn't come. I think it would have been even more fun if you were there. But being there with the younger Paul brother was a blast. I mean, every girl that you see on Instagram was there. And I got a chance to talk to Dan, too. And formally, you know, squash the miscommunication. I was like, "I don't know what the fuck all this shit is about, dude." He was like, "Go have a good time." I got like 10 seconds with him. And I was like, bro, I mean, he's like the supreme leader of like the delinquent set that I run in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I never meant to disrespect the guy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you missed a party, bro.
Yeah, I did, but I'm all right. You know, I'm if I'm being honest, FOMO is no longer even a part of my brain.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'm just so locked in. Like, I don't care about parties. I really don't care about anything except crushing this kid's skull. And honestly, I'm letting him know that on Instagram direct messages. Some of you may know I'm reaching out to KSI directly, and he just keeps leaving me unseen, bro. I feel like a little side hoe. Like, check him out. I sent this to him. I said, "Yo, what's your addy? I'm gonna send you an edible arrangement." Just want to send him something nice. I sent him this voice memo.
"Yo, what up, bro? Happy Sunday. I wanted to check in. See if you baked that cake yet. Had some good sparring today. Some really good sparring today. And just reminded me that I want you, like from the bottom of my heart, I want you to enjoy these next 19, 20 days of your life or so. So go to a casino in Vegas. Go gamble. Bake that cake, bro.
You hear me?
Good luck, my guy."
And he left me unseen, bro.
That's like 4 or 5 messages you sent him so far.
I mean, I'm just like, bake the cake. Every day goes by, I'm getting anxious, bro. Like,
and hungry.
Hungry.
Where's the cake at?
Where's the cake at, bro? Bake the cake. Go do something fun. I hope training's going well in Vegas. It's phenomenal on this side. We had the media training day, which went great.
What's your intent when you send those kind of messages to him?
To get him to bake the cake, bro.
Oh, is that really
it? Imagine if something happens and he never did.
That would stress me out, because that was the one thing that I took away from the London presser that was like a call to action. Like, you're like, yo, it's the one thing he has to do. Because otherwise you're going to put water on him.
And I'm going to light his feet on fire.
And light his feet on fire. And I don't think anybody wants to see
and
that
and slap
shit,
in the
bro.
Face with the fish. Yeah, man, it's so weird because being now like a legitimate professional boxer, I'm so good at allocating all my brain power into one thing. And they tend to be extreme. And the further I go down this professional boxer path, the less I feel and act like a YouTuber or even like a podcast host. Even being on here feels like sort of rusty just because I've been just throwing fists
we haven't done it for a while.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel the same way. And I'm also running on no sleep. But you like... My brain, what happened was it shut off completely.
Just now.
You know how like a light switch, you could just turn it on and off? Yeah. Someone came and just turned it off for me, bro.
It's fine. That happens to me.
It was a focus thing. I was just going to say, like, even your level of focus right now even is like surprising me. Like when I came in your room last night and I was like, yo, I'm going to go to this party. Does that bother you at all? You were like, I could care less. You're like, I don't even like, as you just said, you're like, FOMO doesn't even exist right now. Like, it's, you probably didn't even look at the Instagram stories.
Completely phased out.
I asked you, I said, did you see my stories from last night? What happened at Dan's house? And you're like, no, yeah. You're not even watching. Don't give a fuck about anything.
Nothing
besides
bro.
The fight.
You'd be proud of me. Look at this. Look at this. You'd be proud of me. Just read this part right here. This girl was trying to get me to hang out last night. And, I said I was just showering and thinking.
You even kind of like humble flex on her.
And I owe this to myself. Supreme dedication and discipline. I owe it to me. Yeah. And which like, this was like a hump that I crossed in my mind. Because like, let's be honest, bro. Y'all were out last night and I could easily like snuck away.
Yeah.
And done some shady shit. Not even like had sex. Just gave my energy away.
Yeah.
And I kept it for myself.
What do we got? 2 weeks left?
14 days. Big facts.
So much, bro. I just want to let you know, dude, that it's been an honor being your friend up until this point and like a brother. And there's two outcomes that could happen on November 9th. You can either win or you can win. And I literally, there's no fucking chance it goes any other way. If you're watching this and you haven't placed your bets.
Well let me speak on that for a second.
Okay, go.
I got this tweet. This guy bet 30K on the kid.
30 racks?
$30,000. By the way, to win $16,000.
Because Vegas knows, bro. Like, they're not going to pay out all this extra money, bro. If you bet $100, you get like $5 back.
It's
so like, we knew it was going to happen, bro.
It's funny because on like social media and Twitter, the favorite seems to be JJ.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually swaying with the amount of content we're releasing. Cause I think people realize I'm not fucking around this year.
Yeah.
But in real life, you know, I mean, let's be honest. What are we talking about here?
Right now? The fight, November 9th.
Yeah, no, I know, but just like, we're, you know, what's good? I think they got it right with this, with the odds.
What about your current look and feel? You look like a caged monster, bro. Like what are you weighing right now?
Yeah, I go to sleep about 208, which means, you know, I got to weigh in at 200 pounds. I'm going to be down 8 pounds by the fight. But yeah, definitely feeling strong. Strong, like just thick. And it was interesting because last year I was I felt super lean, but I would we conditioned the wrong way. We just conditioned to run.
And this year it's like an extreme boxing conditioning.
Yeah.
And I know people are concerned about the capacity of air I have in my lungs. Cause last year that was the problem. It was an adrenaline dump, but this year it's just going to be a completely different fight.
You're rocking 10 mile runs, like fucking like nothing, like a walk in the grocery store.
Yeah. 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 And this media workout went really well the other day. And media workouts are so interesting to me because I still have to get used to them because I haven't done that many. And as much as I like to be a showman, ideally I'd like to show off a little more. And the more I do, the better I'm going to get at them. And there was actually a clip that came out right before this. I want to play this. Do you know this dude? Do you know this dude, Dylan Donis? This is this guy like wanted to fight my brother or something. And
such a mess, bro. I, by the way, before you even start this, like, I don't fucking fault the dude. Actually, play it first. Give him some context.
He called me out, like, he wanted to fight me, this and that. And then I kind of just, like, I was like, ah, whatever, you know, like, I'm not going to fight a YouTuber. And then, I don't know, like, the money came into part. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just shut this motherfucker up. So, yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about it lately, and I'm down to do it. You know, they're offering me $4 or $5 million for a boxing fight against some that can't even defend himself. So I'm down to do it. I mean, if you talk a big game and say you could fight me, you could, you know, you'll beat me and stuff like that. We'll see if you could do it.
Wait, so who's offering you $4 to $5 million?
When I talked to Jake Paul, they said that's what, the last one they made $8 million. So they split four between each other.
Turn it the fuck off, was like, dude.
No, obviously,
just fucking stop.
Yo, you fucking little pussy ass bitch. No one offered this guy $4 to $5 million to fight Jake. He said, I think, let me keep playing it actually.
But this fight will be a lot bigger. Let's do it. And I was like, all right, I'm done.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I would imagine that's more than what you make your belt for.
It's close, but you know, it's fine.
It's close.
The competition's, I mean, I'm funny. Guys are martial artists for their whole life.
Yeah, you're making $4 to $5 million a fight in Bellator. Damn.
It's close. I just don't fault the dude. Like, he's out here trying to get his bags.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? And like, by the way, there's a lot of fucking people doing it, bro. Like, yo, like, let's be honest. We're watching this. The bigger fucking story and the story everybody's always talking about is this Gibber shit. Okay. Gibber has worked this fight situation for his benefit. Prior to this fight, prior to Jake Paul Gibber beef, I didn't know who the fuck Gibber was. I still don't. And by the way, in America, nobody fucking does. And I'm not saying that's a problem, but he's working it the right way. He's doing it the same way that Dylan Danis is. He sees an opportunity. He's trying to seize it. I have no problem with that. But like, Dylan Danis is like,
in my,
he's harping on it.
Hours of spare time, I went back and I watched Gibbs' first fight, and I.
How'd he do? I didn't see it.
I legitimately cannot believe, and maybe it's an act, but I cannot believe he thinks he stands even the slightest chance with Jake. He's the sloppiest fighter I've ever seen in my life. He was one of the fights where if you happen to be a boxing fan and you were watching the undercard before KSI and I fight, he was one of the fights that people watching, they're like, oh, what the fuck is this? Like, this is a YouTuber fight.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird, like, bouncy, almost like he did, like, lines of cocaine before he fought and then just came in and he ended up punching himself in the face twice. But, you know, the fans want to see it.
And that's, I mean.
So I think there's something to be said there. Like, if Gib wants to do it, and I know Jake would be down.
I think he's underestimating the amount of work that Jake is putting in as it compares to the amount of work that you're putting in. Like, I wouldn't say Jake's at 100% of what you're doing
because
he's not fight prepping. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But like, he's at sparring every day. He's running every day. He hasn't missed a practice. He hasn't drank.
Did he drink last night?
Nah.
Wow.
He didn't drink last night. He's prepping for a fight that have we talked about, like, I don't even know if we can say this, but like, stop like thinking about November 9th for a Jake Paul fight. Is that
no, fair? They know. Yeah. There's no
November 9th Jake Paul fight. Like, Keemstar, stop talking about it. Gibbs, stop talking about it. The undercard is not going to have Jake Paul on it. Like, we can say that without a shadow of a fucking doubt.
He's going to have his own fight.
Faye Sensei got a fight though.
I did see that. I'm actually really excited for that fight. He's fighting a
Another MMA YouTuber?
He's an MMA YouTuber. I think he has a family channel. I believe his name is Josh Bruckner. Josh Bruckner?
He's an MMA fighter with a family channel. He's like your dream.
One day, bro. But yeah, look at this kid. Super good looking kid. Friendly guy. I know he was chirping at me for a little bit, but I kind of didn't entertain it because I didn't know who he was. But now he's on my radar. He's going to be fighting Faye Sensei, which should be a good fight. Two like pro guys. Novice level pros.
Would that be like the core undercard? Is that like the one right before yours? Probably, right?
No, hell no. Oh,
no, there's real, there's like pro boxers.
Bro,
fighting,
Billy
right?
Joe Saunders is fighting for the title.
Crazy.
On our undercard.
Crazy. That's DAZN shit. That's DAZN shit, bro. That's what legitimizes this so much.
Look at this guy, dude. Look at that. Happy family and whatnot. Just making YouTube videos and beating people up. I am mad at it.
He looks like a good Christian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he does. He probably is, man. And by the way, shout out to all the Christians.
Yeah, for real. Dude. Wait, are you guys Christians?
Yeah. Oh, you both are. Did you did you meet through Bible study?
Wait, no? Can I ask you a question? I hate to say it in such a upfront way, but who are those girls? And what like?
I think you know the one.
Sorry.
The one in the back is a friend, who also was my first girlfriend ever.
Oh, yes. It's of Beth. Course. I'm sorry. I have poor vision from old age. I can barely see back there. Yeah. Plus, I haven't slept in like 4 days.
I'm going to be honest.
You look great.
This is the extent of our interaction. I am not going to be allowed to talk to you after the show. So, hello from afar.
No, we actually installed some glass in your bedroom.
Oh, cool. So we can do like
it's got a little speaker box,
type.
Like a jail type thing.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right, guys. We got another sponsor. Speaking of sports and all of the things that involve sports. Where I'm putting my money down on all the games, MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. I asked Mike about this. I would love to find my fight as an available option to bet on MyBookie.
I'm talking to him about it right now. And MyBookie has been very good to both of us.
Both of us. Shout out MyBookie, yeah.
Wow. I've actually been able to eat and all kinds of stuff because of him. But I'm talking to him right now to see if they will be the big host of your fight.
I would love that. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. You guys know I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me and my friends, a.k.a. Mike.
Yep.
MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. They have live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game, up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use the promo code Logan to activate the offer. MyBookie online today. And don't forget the promo code Logan. Bet, win, get paid.
I feel like the rust is shaking off. I'm alive. I'm feeling better. First half of the show or first, quarter, we haven't filmed in how long?
It's been what, years at this point.
It's been years.
You know what I'm excited for?
What?
And what excites me around this fight stuff.
Lay it on me.
The amount that I feel like us as a team, Team Maverick, our brand value rises exponentially almost. There is so much content around it. And like the respect that you get as a fighter is so much different than being a YouTuber. Like, bro, yeah. When I walk in a room, my energy is different. Like there's a danger level to me that people know like this kid's willing to fucking try to beat people up in a ring.
From a versatility standpoint, I told you last night that there's, and based on like the signs and based on the vibes I've been getting lately, there's never been a time I've been more excited to be on this team. Like between all of the things we have going on right now, this podcast, my show, your fight, like the word you always use is momentum.
Momentum.
Do you feel that fucking momentum?
My God, I feel
like
it,
being
bro.
Team Maverick, being a part of the entities that we exist in right now, and even more so being a fan of those, I feel like the value of that right now is hitting a point that on November 9th, when you secure that fucking knockout and we walk out of there, you are literally going to have your pick of the litter in B-class Hollywood. I told you last night. You are moving from C-list girls to B and B-plus girls based on the strength of this fucking fight. And by the way, I may even move up from E-list to fucking D-list, bro. Like, straight the fuck up, dude.
Bro, but that's okay, I hear you.
Sorry, I may have gone off track a little bit.
I hear you. You're on a roll. We have quite possibly the best piece of content that we've ever made
coming out.
I think I'm going to aim for November 2nd. I want to drop the trailer. Oh, it'll actually already be out, so go check it out. It's called The Maverick. It is a documentary about the Logan Paul of 2017 and 2018,
post Japan. In short, along with myself, the internet destroyed me, and miraculously and in such a weird roundabout way, boxing saved me. And it is a compelling, touching inside look of what was going on in my life at that time and how I didn't honestly decide to quit everything. And so I'm really excited to release that piece of content. Again, I think I'm aiming for November 2nd. It's going to be called The Maverick.
I'm so excited for
and,
that shit,
yeah,
bro.
It's so well done.
It's a movie. And people say that all the time now. It's a movie, sure, in a movie. It's a fucking movie.
Yeah, bro. This isn't like a YouTuber documentary about some minute thing. This was a moment in time where I failed to the highest degree. And I had an option to quit or somehow try to pick myself up. And for everyone who's ever made a mistake in their life or is feeling like they're at rock bottom, I want this to be the light to show you that it could definitely, definitely, definitely get worse. But more importantly, it will definitely get better always. That's just the way life works.
I'm so happy that both of us can live by that code now. You know what I'm saying?
So great.
Like that's something we can both relate on.
Yeah.
So much. And I got a delivery date for my book, it looks like.
No, you don't.
For everybody that's waiting on that shit. Yeah, it looks like March 1, dude.
Wait, really?
Late February, March 1. Yeah, co-writer's locked in. She's going to clean the fucker up and self-publishing a book, bro. It's scary. I wrote the thing for 5 years. It's got a lot of shit that was painful for me to write and a lot of coping skills and a lot of, more than anything, it's a story. It's a compelling read because it's graphic and visceral and it makes you scared and it makes you want to crawl up in a ball and cry at points. It's a story.
I'm excited for that to come out because I think like a lot of people think you're just like at Hey Big Mike.
Yeah, facts.
You know?
Facts.
And like you're the guy who sits next to me and like does the night shift. But like I've said this before. This man had like technically should not be alive. According to like the regular like rules and physics of life, has defied death so many times, and I'm excited to finally be able to show everyone the inside look of like who is Mike Malak.
I'm so amped.
Ex drug addict, ex 300-pound guy, like
ex been stabbed, thrown out of cars, ex fucking just escaped. Like it reads like a movie. Yeah, I also don't know that within a year of it going out, it's not a movie. Like
that'd be amazing.
The person that is co-writing it with me is a New York Times bestselling author. She's got, I think, 3 or 4 New York Times bestsellers. And the last one she wrote sold to Netflix and became a movie. So she already has that connection. And so like just all the things that are involved in it are so timely and relevant right now. The opiate epidemic, which is obviously the biggest, kind of the biggest story that exists in our country right now. You know, the rise of us re-rise of us as a team. And just all of these different things are so timely and relevant that I would be surprised if it wasn't picked up and turned into some sort of like visual piece.
It's cool for me to sort of discover the complexity and depth that you have to your character every day. Like I find out something new about Mike every day. Like the other day
say anything you want. I literally, as you know, you guys know every single thing about me, and what you don't know, you'll find out in the book. I'm actually excited to hear this because I have no idea what the fuck it's going to
be. We were talking in the car. He goes, yo, I don't think I showed you this. And he pulled his lips back.
Yeah.
And he's missing like four teeth on the left side. Like I didn't know this. Did you know that?
Bro,
this is gone.
Yo, you go through hell.
He's got no molars on his left side.
And by the way, mom, I'm so sorry about that. Like, so my mom
loved your teeth.
It was the most important thing in her life.
Oh.
Like literally all the braces, all the dentist visits. Like I had perfect teeth. And when you go through a 10-year stretch of war, I don't know how else to describe it. Self-inflicted war, whatever you want to call it. There are casualties, and that's one of them. And I'll get them fixed. I'm supposed to get them fixed sooner because I think that bone starts to deteriorate a little bit. And so if they want to put new teeth in it, that you need to do it.
Mm.
Luckily, Mac Bilski's father is the best dentist, I guess, in the country.
He's amazing. Yeah, he took my wisdom teeth out. Shout out Dr. Bilski.
Yes.
I love Dr. B. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, bro, physically, there's a lot of damage left, but I wake up every day and I'm fucking stoked. I'm amped, bro. Especially right now. I've never been more excited to be alive, dude. Like,
I got good news to add on to that.
What's good?
I think the main channel, the vlog channel, is going to hit 20 million soon. I think we're like 80,000 away from 20 million.
I can't believe that shit.
I'm so vastly underprepared for that.
4 months, no, what was it? 4 or 5 months ago, we were sitting there, we're like, motherfucking brother Jakey. Yeah. You son of a bitch, dude.
Sneak up on us.
And he was. And by the way, he still is. Brother Jakey, he's working on a lot of things. He's going, I talked about it on my show. He's making the run for a more traditional play. He's talking to some networks. He's got a lot of good stuff going on. And so YouTube isn't his only concern right now. Luckily for us, because it looks like we're going to hit the 20M mark before he does. Which is exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
I do have bad news.
Yeah.
So I went on this podcast or this show during my media day.
Yes. I hope this is going where I think it is.
Yeah, with this dude named Jason Ellis.
Yes. Okay, cool. Because I have this in my notes.
Oh, okay.
Which cool. I have today. Notes.
Nice.
I know.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Jason Ellis. He's a radio show host. Super cool guy.
He's but awesome.
It was interesting because like he's definitely an alpha and I'm an alpha too. And like the first thing we started talking about when he came in the room was fighting and like fighting each other because he fights.
Yep.
He's like, you know, you're not a professional boxer. I'm like, well, I am. He goes, you know, well, with like, you know, guys like us who've been fighting for years. I'm like, no, he goes, you can't just say you're a professional boxer. I'm like, well, technically I am. I have no fights. And anyways, we got into it a little bit and, I told him that I was the host of the number one podcast in the world.
Oh, I'm so happy you're bringing this up.
And he wouldn't. He's
would
like,
not let it
he
go.
Goes, what, you're like bigger than Joe Rogan? I said, well, like, what's the metric for success here? Like, what are we talking about? Like, views or just overall just being the best? He goes, well, wouldn't being the best mean you have the most downloads? And I'm like, I mean, who, what are we talking about here? You know? And he pressed me and I kind of like panicked a little bit. And I ended up saying like, okay, like, fuck, bro. I guess we don't have the most downloads. But we're still the number one podcast in the world.
Facts.
You know? Or so I thought.
No. Well, where's this going? I got to hear this because I'm getting fucking mad.
Joe Rogan had Edward Snowden on his podcast.
Fucking fuck.
Edward Snowden.
Listen.
What are we doing? We don't even have a guest.
We have no guests. Look at our guests
right
now.
We don't even have our third co-host,
Spencer. We have Edward Snowden post-NSA. Invisible. He's not even fucking here, dude. He's gone.
Edward
in Russia.
Snowden.
Bro, like, how do you do that? How do you do that, dude?
Sorry. Yeah. He Skyped him in, bro.
Like, what?
He Skyped him in, dude.
Can we... Edward Snowden, NSA agent extraordinaire, responsible for one of the most loved and hated individuals on this planet, responsible for some of the largest leaks, whistleblowing in the history of the U.S. government, one of the most interesting people on this planet. You talk about me having should have been dead. This dude is a fucking ghost. The fact that he is still alive is a miracle.
Yeah. And even like, look at the room he's recording in. Like, where is he?
What? On no this marks. Planet. No marks.
Nothing, dude.
Nothing.
And Joe Rogan had him on. So with all due respect to us and
nope,
this
don't
podcast.
Say it. And I'll say it how you want to say it. Now I'm ready to combat it.
I just say we got to step our game up. That's all I'm going to say.
Like,
let's get some like that. Who's that guy? The other leak guy? Oh, he's in jail. Julian Assange.
We can get him via holograph. People have done that in the past. Listen. Joe Rogan has...
A bald head.
He has a bald head. But listen, Joe Rogan's podcast is potentially the most well-rounded. Because here's the deal. It goes back to the metrics. Joe Rogan exists in a space that is so professional, so fucking well put together, so well-rounded. He brings in the people that intrigue your mind. Okay. Logan and I and Spencer are personalities. This is a variety show of sorts, okay? And by the way, we are the podcast of people that play in a young Hollywood that we represent honestly and transparently that no one else is talking about. We are talking about the things that a certain group of people want to hear about. Nobody else is talking about the shit as openly as we are. We will... expose ourselves. We'll talk about the parties we go to. And by the way, also the world's biggest YouTuber. And by the way, one of the world's best YouTubing fighter YouTubers. like there's a lot of variety here and a lot of really good personality. Rogan's is way more laid back, thought provoking.
It's
different metrics, like you said.
But
it's
completely different show. I'm looking forward to our future where we can get to a point to convey the type of information he does in a more digestible way. I think we're really good at that. The good news is, bro, I'm more than half his age, or less than half.
So you got a lot of time to do it.
Like, I'm 24, he's 52. So I'm stunned at how much he knows.
Here's what,
and his curiosity. First off, curiosity is quite possibly one of the best traits I think a human can have.
Amazing.
He is so curious about everything and about life, and I have it too. And I hope it just, like, I can further nurture that trait of mine and just like satisfy a hunger that I have for knowledge. But he is just like, he knows everything. Everyone.
Every minute. And by the way, it is an age thing. Because you look at me and you're like, people ask me all the time too. They're like, why do you know such a weird wealth of information on topics that make no sense?
Yeah.
Like when I'm sitting down and I start having a conversation with Rene Descartes about Rene Descartes and, you know, philosophies on first meditations and shit with Mac in the fucking hot tub. People are like, why do you know about this stuff? Well, as you get older, you just sponge stuff up. And you learn more and more stuff. Here's where he differs, other than age. Every minute you spend talking to a girl, thinking about fighting, thinking about the next piece of content, he is studying the deep down low of what Snowden was doing. And he probably does hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of prep work before those fucking interviews.
We talk about... So, let me combat that for a second. I don't know that. Yeah. For Snowden, yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, yes. I see where you're going.
For typical guests, I'm not sure. But we talk about being regimented and the importance of it.
Sure.
Do you think, like, I mean, this has to be the case. Do you think, like, the fact that he's got a wife and a family and 100%, a house and, like, a 100%. Routine. Like,
loves weed, by the way.
Helps him just, like, zone in and just do his thing to the best of, 100%. Of his ability.
We look at what we did on the way into Jones, Gun Girl, and Shapiro. Still not as much as he would have done, but we came armed.
You came armed. I'm like, for some reason, bro, like I'm not well equipped enough politically to be able to have like those type of conversations with those type of people.
We didn't even work that differently for those interviews or for those shows. The thing is I, once again, it goes back to amount of time that I've spent in those subjects. Because they do vastly interest me. They do vastly interest me. Like, if I got a chance to sit down with Snowden, I know enough. To your point, you're probably right. Like, I probably know enough to sit down and have a meaningful interview and a meaningful show with Snowden right now without doing any additional research.
Yeah.
Because we talk about this when it comes to movies sometimes. When we talk about what movie you want to watch, what movie I want to watch, the movies I want to watch are about government secrecy. The mafia, like shit like that. That's the stuff I'm interested in. If you bring a fighter on and you're talking about fight techniques, you're going to crush that podcast.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. I mean, the shows that Rogan really excels on are the ones where it's a topic that he fucking loves. Internet censorship, Snowden, Jones, the people that he loves to have on. So maybe at the end of the day, it comes down to being a passion thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I recommend you guys all go listen to that Joe Rogan podcast. We still have yet to do it. We're probably just going to sit down, maybe even tonight, and just
watch it.
Just listen to
tonight,
it.
Tonight's the Halsey Halloween party. You can't go.
Yeah, I got invited.
Of course you did. It's funny because all the parties that I like am not getting invited to, I'm going to.
Yeah.
But you're getting invited to, I'm not going to.
Hey, Halsey, have a fun party, I guess. So go listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. And when you do it, make sure you do it wearing Raycon wireless earbuds. Look, guys, smoothest transition ever. It's a wireless world and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds in the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest models, E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. They're comfortable, perfect for on-the-go listening and taking phone calls. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. We've actually had Raycon or Ray J on our podcast before. And it's cool to see that he's branched out into a tech guru. And also on the Ray J note real quick, Suge Knight just signed over his life rights to Ray J. Like, Ray J is a mogul, bro.
Sorry, what did you say?
A fledgling mogul. Suge Knight just signed his life rights
for
over,
his story?
Yes.
Like, for his story?
To Ray J.
I thought you meant like his right to live.
No, probably not that. Call to action. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Logan. That's buyraycon.com/Logan for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Logan. Yeah, Suge Knight, man. You asked me a question the other day that got me thinking. You remember the bagel question?
Yeah, of course I do. I think about it every second of the day.
You do?
Yeah. It scares the shit out of me.
Okay. Can you ask the question for the people?
Do you want to take it or should I?
All right. Mike asked me this question the other day, and it, quite frankly, blew my mind.
And also, by the way, is extremely representative of me as a person. Like, this is another one of those notes where it's like, he's not just the clown from, like, this is more representative of me as a person than the jokes I make on the show.
He said, Logan, Paul, if you were a bagel.
Nope. Fucked it up. If you woke up tomorrow morning, you're a person, you woke up tomorrow morning and you're a bagel. You're a bagel. You're a fucking bagel, bro. Like a breakfast treat. And you're in a bag of bagels. You can't talk. The only thing you're able to do is motor functions.
Move.
You can move around. What do you do? By the way, you have the full mental capacity that you have right now.
What's the first thing that you would do? So I said, I go back to Ohio. I get on one side and I roll all the way back to Ohio and try to communicate with my mother about me being a
bagel. What would you do? Like, what would be your you don't have opposable thumb. By the way, you don't have arms. You can only roll. That's it. So, like,
depending on the amount of incline or decline on a surface, bro, you could probably be going pretty fast. A bagel is basically a soft wheel.
Oh, 100%. That's all it is. And by the way, you have functionality where you can propel yourself uphill. Like, you're not just able to roll and bounce. You can move.
So, all right. So, what was your answer?
I guess you would try to bounce around on a keyboard and do your absolute best to convey that you're a bagel.
Seems tough because of the no thumbs thing.
No,
here's where this question concerned me, because he had a follow-up. And this is when I really started to, my mind just started to implode. He said, okay, so.
No. Oh, the follow, it's based on another question/civil rights issue that we've talked about on this show before. We've talked about hell being a place where you wake up and someone shoves pineapples up your ass every single day, wide side first. You wake up and it happens every day. There's an alternate hell, I believe, that exists where you wake up and you are a doorknob. You're a doorknob and you can't say anything. You can't move like the bagel. You are just a doorknob, but you have all of the mental capacity that you have currently. And so people just grab you and turn you all fucking day and you can't do anything. Like, what must that be like, bro? What must that be like for all of the people who have done wrong in this life that are now doorknobs, bro?
Here's where I got concerned. Mike said, so this begs the question, do we go around the house and remove all the doorknobs and put them in like a nice comfy chair with like a pillow and a blanket and ask them how they're doing and take care of them?
Like, give them a drink, a bite to eat? Because here's the thing, like, I'm looking at, one fell off. Did someone remove that one?
It's been removed.
All right, so there's two that I'm looking at. Like, who's to know that, like, some dude who is wrongfully judged at Heaven's Gate isn't stuck inside that fucking doorknob right now, hungry, scared, alone, and unable to convey the fact that he's been turned into an inanimate object?
It's a question.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, does that not scare anyone else in the fucking room? Andre, you're a vegan, bro. You don't have any thoughts on this?
Fuck you, Andre.
You don't even live in this house anymore, dude.
Andre's been spending time with his new girlfriend.
What else has been going on besides doorknobs and stuff? I've been not fucking.
What?
I've been not fucking.
So you are having
sex?
Yeah, I walked in the other day and there was a nice girl in your bed. And she was actually beautiful.
What the fuck do you mean? What? How fucking dare you, bro? How dare you? What is that supposed to mean, dude? Well, my my comedic charm is enough to command solid Hollywood D&E listers, bro. And you know that.
I
fucking know that.
Well, I've just seen you with some questionable creatures.
Fuck you. Fuck you, dude. Which ones? I want to hear about this, bro.
All right. Hey, mute this. Remember the... that she came over one day and I was like, what's happening here? No, she was a while back. When you were still drinking.
Bro, you don't even have to mute that, by the way. The amount of blonde haired, giant boobed women, that's 99% of the girls that I hook up with, bro. It's LA. Every girl, except for the two that are here right now, have fake lips, fake tits, and blonde hair. It's a calling card for the city, dude.
Hey, I like you guys just the way you are. Stay natural and just work out.
But I am settling down, though.
That's not even remotely true.
Fuck.
It's all right.
I might. I know you will. I suck at this, bro. I'm so bad at it, dude. And you're right, dude. The porn stars have fucking ruined me, dude.
I told you.
They've ruined my expectations, yes, bro. Completely.
It's all about expectation management, and they destroy it because it's so easy and they're so talented. And
bro, I was at dance
sex.
I was at dance party last night and I was sitting on a couch and there was this girl. She was sitting on a couch and it turned quickly into, because I told you last night, dude, or today that, and by the way, this is gross. I probably made out with like 10 girls last night, Jesus. Like random. No further that, with a single one of them.
You know
last
what that
night.
Sounds like to me?
Common cold.
They're common cold.
It's common, dude. I feel it already, bro. I'm going to get fucking sick, okay? But one of them I was making out with, and I was like sitting on a couch, and I was like, so how'd you end up on this couch? And she was like...
So that was your opener?
Not really. She was... No, do you want to know how this conversation went down? I walked up, and I see three girls, and they're just like chatting, laughing, sitting on a couch. And I come over, and I go like this. And I'm just like hanging out. I wave to him, and one girl goes, hey, what's this guy's deal? And she goes... and the other girl goes, hey... You're like an important person or something, aren't you?
Oh my God. I wonder how many times she said, bro, that at the party.
And do you know what I said to her? I go, I'd like to believe we're all important.
Oh, that boy, Mike.
And so, but like, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're important.
The clout pushed the fucking the conversation along pretty quickly. And so I'm sitting there with her and, you know, one thing leads to another and we start making out. And I turn to her and I'm like,
what do you mean? Wait. No, you just jump like five steps. You just start making
there
out.
Really was no more steps. I told you about the other girl that I walked down the stairs and she goes, we matched on Tinder. And I go, oh yeah, what's up? She goes, you want to make out? And I go, sure. We started making out.
Shut the fuck up. What's happening?
So weird, bro.
What's happening?
But couch girl, we started making out. And then I was like, yeah, wow, this is a great party. Do you want to like go fuck or something?
You said that to her?
Yeah, she's like, I don't know. That seems a little quick. And I was like, oh, I'll see you later. Just walked away, bro, and just moved on with the rest of my fucking nights. I've been ruined, bro. I'm fucked. I'm completely fucked, bro.
Are you saying that happened because of your
porn star expectations? What do I do? Like, how do I reverse all of this? Is it possible?
Look.
Should I go back to church?
Ooh. It's quite possible that could help you.
Are
eventually.
You guys saying yes?
They're devout Christians.
Maybe you can take me on Sunday.
I think that would help.
Yeah.
Have a few combos with our man and Jesus.
Either that or like... The last two times I had like a nice girl that I liked, she I kept hanging out with her, even though you know all about this right now, even though we didn't hook up at first. And the love just grew and grew and grew. And then I realized that I had passed the hump from lost to actually liking the girl. I'm telling you, girls out there, if you're hooking up on the first night with the expectation that it's gonna lead to something more than that, you're fucking yourself
over.
Don't do it. You really gotta hold out.
You really do. Unless, and I hate
to, damn, why am I saying this?
I hate to
dude.
Put it
what
in
an
this
asshole,
context.
Bro.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I'm fucking over all the bros out there.
No, fuck the bros. Listen, no. y'all gotta earn it. Y'all gotta be gentlemen. Y'all gotta earn it. Here's what I'll say. If you're a woman and you're trying to lock down your mans and you're putting out real quick, like Mike said, it's probably not gonna go your way.
Yeah.
So hold out a little bit. 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
That's the frame. A month. Yeah, yeah.
Like I'd say a month. Like every girl that has ended up being my girlfriend has not let me hit for the first month. That's just how it happens. We fall in love or like each other in that first month, and then the physical happens afterwards. Unless you suck.
Yeah.
If you're not cool and you're not
dope and you can't command attention from the mans,
and you're not hooking up. You might just have to give him a
hand job. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like
you might have to.
You might have to.
Yo, but that's such a. The thing about the party last night, and like, it's not even, because by the way, I've made this note before. The only difference between the girls at the party last night and porn stars is the camera. That's the only difference. Like, all that's why, like, this whole strategy won't work with those girls, because these girls don't want to get locked down. They want to be at the party. They want to be doing lines, if and you, they want to be fucking random YouTubers. Like, that's what they want to do. And so, like, it's been hard for me because I've been more than happy to fill that void for them. Like, use me. Use me as a fucking tool, okay? That's all I am for you. I'm a garden hoe. That's it. Fucking utilize me. I'm a part of your toolbox. That's it. But soon enough, I may be a bouquet of flowers in a nice young gal's life. It's not gonna ever happen.
Nah, maybe. He's gonna be Uncle Mike soon. If I get a kid coming real soon, you're gonna be Uncle Mike, and I need you to live in my house forever.
We've talked about this a lot lately. I'm not leaving. Fuck or man. We're gonna get a new place with two floors that has two kitchens. See this girl right here.
Look at her.
I've told you about this girl before. She's good friends with your ex assistant. I won't name which one to try to keep her off the radar a little bit.
Okay.
She is the most wholesome and cute girl I've ever met.
Oh well, might as well ruin her, Mike.
So listen.
Might
to
as
this.
Well destroy every ounce of goodness that she has in her, Mike.
I hung out with her last night.
Oh God, she's done.
For an hour. And she was like, this is a lot of fun. And by the way, approach her completely differently. Completely hands off. Like, we'll hug. And she's like, you're so cute. I love you. Like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Very like friendly and cool. And she's like, we should hang out again sometime. And I go, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to hang out with you. You're so wholesome. You are so, I said that to her. I show you the text right now. Actually, hold on, let me pull this up.
I've had a few girls like that, and I've said that same thing to them because it just didn't feel right.
So she texted me at 12:04 today.
She sent you hella emojis with hearts on.
Hi, thanks for having me come with you last night. We need to hang soon with a heart.
She said, love you.
And I said, you're literally my favorite person. I think I'm just going to become wholesome for you.
Not whole wheat or Whole Foods.
I said, what's going on in this wholesome weekend world? Do you save puppies? And she goes, I'm actually going to Halsey's party tonight. So she's not fucking. Now she is. She's wholesome.
I don't think that exists in LA.
No, she's a gem, dude.
It's a diamond in the rough, then, dude.
She's also like 19. I don't fucking know.
Well, that's why she hasn't time to become tainted by an asshole like you, Mark.
I won't do it. One thing, bro, I always based my shit on too, and it when it comes to drugs and other vices in life, is I don't like turning people on to shit. If you're already a hoe, jump in my cesspool. I'm here for you. Soak in the fucking riches of this acid water. But if you're like, if you're a wholesome person and you've never used a drug, like back my old style, or you've never, you know, been like that, I do not want to make you do that. I don't want to be responsible for your demise. I always hated the thought that I could make someone turn bad.
I like that about you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think that's probably good for the episode. Hey.
Yeah. We were a little rough. I was a little rough. I haven't slept, man. I love everyone that's watching the show, and I love everyone that's watching the night shift. And honestly, a lot of people are starting to come up to me, and I'm trying to like learn how to deal with it and shit.
Just stay humble, dude.
Am I doing a decent job of that, would you say, or no?
Yeah. The issue with you, and I had this issue too, is, and like, she can actually test and she's known me since high school.
Yeah.
I've always been like kind of like a cocky douche, you know, like nothing's really changed. Facts. Like I got followers and everyone's like, you're so cocky. I'm like, I can tell you factually, I've always been like this kind of douchebag guy.
I tweeted about this. She said no.
You were gone before I was a senior. Senior, cool. Because I went through puberty, I became 6'2". No, I was 160 when I was a junior, and then I was like 190 when I was a senior. It was a night, and I grew like 5 inches. I remember Coach Campo. I came to the weight room one day. He's like, "What the fuck happened to you?" And I was like, "I don't know, Coach. I got these new hairs under my arms."
I tweeted about that. I said, yo, like, people are like, yo, I think you're starting to get a big head. I'm like, shit, my head has been fucking way too big forever. Yeah. For even when I was a fucking big time drug addict.
It starts with self-awareness. I will say I've become humbled over time. Now, granted, I have glances of like just pure douchebaggery.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the massive success actually in a weird way leads to humility.
Because of the fall?
Well, no. Not even. Like, you become grateful and gratitude led to humility. Yeah. Because, like, you're just like, wow. You look around at me anyway. I look around and I'm like, wow. I mean, yes, I earned this. And I worked hard for it, but it, I don't know. Sometimes it almost seems too good to be true. So then I just turn to gratitude. I'm like, holy shit. And then I'm like, wow.
Well, I've also told you before, the only thing that truly makes me happy anymore is helping someone. Like, literally, I can say that without a shadow of, you know, uncertainty or doubt. Like, all of the escapades that I'm on and all that stuff, you know, there are other things that make me happy watching you win stuff like that. But like, yo, when someone comes up to me and they're like, and by the way, for all the people that are fucking in my DMs, bro, like about, you know, having these life struggles and stuff like that, I think I'm gonna set an hour aside a week for all these people that have genuine addiction, mental health problems to do my absolute best to respond to some messages. One, like, that's the least that I could do. Do you think that's like a good, like, goal?
Yeah, it's mad noble. I don't know how realistic it is.
1 hour? It leaves me 159.
Not in fight camp I have free time, but like, do you know how many times I have 1 hour free when I'm doing like regular content stuff? Never.
We got it. We have to make it work, bro. There's so many people out there who like I hate seeing people struggle, bro. It literally hurt it. Sickens me, bro. It sickens me. And so when I could have a few words that make people feel a little bit better, that's like the only thing that truly makes me feel like I'm doing something good. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really doing something. Making people laugh is great. I love that. I love helping people escape from their monotony just like you do. But when you're able to give someone a reason to keep living their fucking life, bro, it's like...
That's dope, man. Yeah, you sound like a pussy, bro. All right, now I'm just
kidding. Do not cut that part out.
It's a joke. Can I not make a joke? All right. 2019. Get fucking used to it. I'm a comedian. Yeah. And also, we've been serious for a little too long. But he's right. That's why I do the shit I do, bro.
Yeah.
If I can be just a little bit of light in your day and distract you from the bullshit that's going on in your life, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I hope that
does
it.
And more so, learn from my mistakes and use me as inspiration to do whatever you want to do. Right now, it's fitness. If you're not working out, join us, dude. Fitness is the first step to greatness. That said, enjoy this episode, last episode of Impulsive Before the Fight. Get your tickets.
Maybe talk to us on Twitter and
link
shit.
In the description. Yeah, let us know what you're up to.
What you're feeling.
And ask us any questions. The fight's going to be available on the DAZN app if you can't make it to the Staples Center in Los Angeles. If you live in Los Angeles, by the way, I expect you to fucking be there. Or anywhere in California, if you live in the United States, I expect you to be there. I'm being honest. You better be there.
This dub is for you guys, yo.
Yeah, big facts.
I can't even say that because it's your fight. But
it's been quite the journey, and you guys have been on it with us this whole time. Keep a lookout for our fight doc. Trailer is going to be dropped already. I'm going to link that in the description as well. And November 2nd, that's coming out. That said, hit that subscribe button. We'll see you once I am a champion. Ladies and gentlemen, I fucking love you. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of the world's number one podcast, Impulsive. Take it easy. Breathe.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.